live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. It is good to be back with you. Copper gave me the day off yesterday. Copper, thank you so much for giving me the day off. That was sweet of you.
Of course.
I have to check with Copper before I'm allowed to do anything, just to make sure it's okay. But no, I really appreciate Michael Yaffe taking the time to cover down on yesterday's show. I had some business matters that had to be attended to, and there was no way to know whether I was going to get back in time for broadcast. So thanks, Yaffe. Appreciate you being in the mix for me. But Copper, good day to you. I didn't really truly say it, so hello and happy Tuesday.
Hello, happy Tuesday. I'm pounding the caffeine over here because I don't
Pounding the caffeine.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what's right. Going
I'm sitting right here. As a matter of fact, I've got a cup of Just Love Coffee. And by the way, that's not an ad. I really do have a cup of Just Love Coffee in my hands right now, in the studio. We like to say, well, Copper, get that triple dipper sound effect ready because I'm about to tell the folks what they're going to have to know about today's show. And by the way, while she's doing that, I'll just tell you this too: callers calling in today, 3:30 p.m. I've got my good friend, former State Senator Brian Taylor. Also worked in the governor's office. He was also a JAG officer with duty in Iraq. He's going to be here to talk about military vaccine mandates and some of the things we're seeing in the news right now. And then at 4 p.m., our own Dale Jackson is going to call in, enlighten us as we just kind of dialogue back and forth about what's happening in our state legislature. With special session coming up, what are we going to see on redistricting, and what are we going to see on possibly addressing vaccine mandates? Do they have the political will for it? I don't know yet. So Copper, triple dipper, hit the sound effect.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
And you do got to know them. I mean, these are stories that are literally impacting the life of this state and across the nation daily. The first one on the Triple Dipper, I got to tell you, is the fact that, you know, I'm going to talk about Bama on the border a little bit here in a minute. And I'm going to talk about the fact that our border crisis is reaching epic new levels. It appears to be intentional. I'm beyond the point that I could say, wow, change in policy. I guess things happen. Elections have consequences. It's beyond that. It's beyond that. It's an intentional effort to allow our borders to be erased. And I'm tired of it. And I gotta point out some things so you know why I'm saying that. It takes a lot to get me that way, but I'm there. The next one I'm gonna talk about on the Triple Dipper, so that's border. The next one is gonna be the fact that military vaccine mandates are a thing. Have you heard what they're doing right now? There is talk right now of even making service members have to repay the cost of their training for not getting vaccinated. And I'm saying that's a no-go. And we will have a JAG officer, my friend Brian Taylor, like I said, is going to call in around 3:30. And we'll discuss that from a JAG perspective. I don't think it flies. But nonetheless, I want to hear his perspective too. And the last one is this: what's going to happen in our state special session? So they're coming up on October 28th in special session. To deal with the issue of redistricting, there are clamors right now for them to address the question of vaccine mandates. Something like 17 states have addressed vaccine mandates in special session. Any number of them have already convened for that very purpose or are about to convene and being called by their governors. So far, it is crickets from Montgomery. The State House and the Capitol both are not addressing whether they will take that up. But there's a call for it, and we're already hearing that some, you know, business community folks are already pushing back, and they just don't want to make those kind of waves. But listen, I gotta go to the border first. That's where I'm going to spend some time. The Triple Dipper's got those three stories that we're going to weave together for you, give you all you need to know to be enlightened and educated, empowered, and even entertained in the process about what's going on in those three things. But the first one I got to spend a few minutes here on the fact that this is not new. Bama has been on the border before. I'm telling you, we have. I mean, let me ask you this. What if I told you that your neighbor's house was being threatened? I mean, what would you do? Would you sit idly by? Would you gawk out the windows and take videos on your smartphone? Would you call 911? Or would you arm yourself and go next door to help? You see, it's an issue that I hope none of you ever have to face. I mean, having your home violated is more than disconcerting. It's an invasion of your privacy. It's the taking away of your sense of security. But what if I told you that it was a government policy that was encouraging that invasion of privacy? That a government policy was actually incentivizing people to go into your neighbor's house and just do as they please? Sound far-fetched? Well, it's not. It's exactly what's happening right now on the southern border of the United States. And in a minute, I'm going to play you some sound clips from ranchers on the southern border who cannot even take their trash out now without being armed. It's heartbreaking. One of the clips that I've got that I'll play for you, Charlene pointed it out to me, is this big old rancher standing there who just breaks into tears at one point during an interview because he's losing his home to all these illegals that keep flooding his own property. In the past, though, it was just the opposite. The nation did not sit idly by. It was a question of national security, national sovereignty. Neighbor watching out for neighbor, states watching out for states. And Alabama has been in the mix many times. You may have heard me mention on the show before about the 167th Infantry. The 167th Infantry, a legacy unit with deep traditions and long history right here in our own Alabama National Guard. One of the highlights of my 30 years of uniform service was I got to serve as the battalion commander of the 167th Infantry for about 2.5 years. The legendary 4th Alabama is their nickname. That unit has more battle streamers on its guidon than most any unit in the entire U.S. Army, with service dating back to 1836. It's got battle scars from every war our nation has fought in the past 185 years. There's a statue built on the battlefield in France near a place called Croix Rouge Farm from World War I. A similar statue is located near Union Station in downtown Montgomery. There's a bridge named after them in Birmingham. And in Rainbow City, Alabama, well, Rainbow City is named that because in World War II, the 167th Infantry was attached to the 42nd Infantry Division, the Rainbow Division. And that's why we have Rainbow City, Alabama. I've got a picture on the wall of my office, one of those old black and white panoramic pictures. It's of the men from the 167th who served from Etowah County, just the Etowah County guys. Upon their return from World War I, and two of the men in that photo are actually wearing a Distinguished Service Cross. That's second only to the Medal of Honor. And they were legendary in battle. I've said it before on here, but it's worth saying it again. There was a general by the name of General Plummer, I believe it was, and he said, "By God, in a time of war, you send me all the Alabamians you can find." And I've talked about them, like I said, here on this radio show, but did you know, that the 167th played a real serious part in securing our southern border over 100 years ago. You see, in 1916 and early 1917, the 4th Alabama participated in a nationwide call of National Guard units to federal service for guard duty along the U.S. southern border with Mexico in Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. And they were positioned there as the Mexican Border Service after a raid on Columbus, New Mexico by forces under the command of the Mexican revolutionary named General Francisco Pancho Villa. See, Villa had led a cross-border incursion into the United States in New Mexico with about 1,500 guerrillas across the border and staged a brutal raid on a small town called Columbus, New Mexico, killed 19 Americans, and left the town in flames. And the U.S. took it seriously. So, determined to destroy the rebels, the president ordered General John Pershing to lead 6,000 American troops into Mexico and capture Villa. Among them was the 167th Infantry. So for nearly 2 years, Pershing and his soldiers chased Villa all around on horseback and automobiles with airplanes, and the American troops had a number of bloody skirmishes with them, and the 167th Infantry from Alabama was right smack in the middle of all of it. And the 167th Infantry went pretty much straight from the Mexican border incursions to the battlefields of World War I. And some say it was their time on the southern border that prepared them, the 167th, for combat in Europe. The hardships, the military order and discipline, the ability to shoot, move, and communicate. But the larger picture here, and the reason why I tell that story, aside from just acquainting you with part of your own history, was that there was a time when the federal government was willing to go to war to protect the southern border of the U.S. And upon the call from the federal government, the states answered. And among those states was Alabama, which sent our own treasure, the 167th Infantry. Some say the mobilization of the 167th is actually what became the catalyst for moving Alabama into the next century, because so many of those young men who had never even been outside of their home counties now saw the world, and they fought for freedom, and they returned home with honor. It was no less on the Mexican border. It was seen then as an invasion, a destruction of that sense of security and sovereignty that every U.S. citizen has a right to expect their government to ensure. It's not that way now. In what seems to be a blatant and intentional effort to blur the lines of national borders, the current administration right now, the Biden administration, is failing to provide even a hint of care and concern that one should expect them to provide. I mean, how else can we say it? And I'll be honest with you, I'm pragmatic. I don't jump on conspiracy bandwagons. I look at facts. I assess. And I cannot deny what I'm seeing. I mean, taken into context, all of the actions and inactions of the Biden administration make this seem to be an intentional effort, right down to the fact that their new Customs and Border Patrol nominee, who's up for confirmation even today, is someone who they selected who has a history of supporting sanctuary cities. Vice President Harris has never actually really gone to the border. Customs and Border Patrol officers are overwhelmed. States are having to take unilateral actions, which are often being rebuffed by D.C. Federal aid does not appear to be forthcoming. Border wall construction is stopped. And, of course, AOC has taken no photo ops. So in a few minutes, I'm going to play some sound clips. And fair warning, they're going to fire you up. And if you, like me, actually care about what happens at your neighbor's house, then you will agree that we must not sit idly by. We must venture across our property lines to assist our neighbor, because if the danger to your neighbor goes unchecked, eventually it comes to your house. So if the dangers in New Mexico and Arizona and Texas continue, Alabama is going to once again be in the mix. We must secure our southern border. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, I missed y'all. Hope you missed me. I tell you what, I'm fired up about this. I'm gonna get into this border situation here a little more. And yes, it does impact Alabama, as it always has. Because right now, they are also releasing into the interior of the United States. Not just releasing, by the way. Reports out this morning that the Biden administration is actually putting them on planes and buses in the dark of night and taking them to the interior of the United States and dropping them off. It's not like they've got holding camps down there in Texas, folks. I'm just telling you, this is happening right now on our watch. Well, by God, not on my watch. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.